And this is Radio Catskill, and it's time for our local interviews. Coming up, we'll continue our year-end review series. Patricio Rubio will be speaking with the town supervisor of the town of Delaware. But right now, it's time for our weekly check-in with Sullivan County government. And of course, as 2020 comes to a close, we're taking a look back on what a year it's been. And right now, COVID-19 cases are continuing to rise. Sullivan County COVID-19 dashboard, as we've said earlier today, shows that there's 23 people in the hospital. It's about two dozen. Last week was about the same. Last time we were at that number was in May of this year. Here to give us the latest on COVID-19, a look back on all that's happened this year, and anything else that we need to know about what's happening in Sullivan County, it's the Sullivan County Communications Director, Dan Hoost, joining us once again. How are you doing, Dan?
All right. How are you, Jason?
Hanging in there. It's holidays. We're halfway through some of the big major holidays. We got one more big one to go here.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone has ever looked more forward to the new year changing than we all are right now.
I don't want to say out loud that we don't actually know what the new year will bring, but it will be a nice change one way or the other.
Well, I think there will be some positive change in 2021. I'm counting on it. I think a lot of folks are too, as well. And just news of the vaccine and the winter will turn to spring is enough to buoy my spirits right
Well,
there.
Well, speaking of the vaccine, why don't we start there? Like, what's the latest on the vaccine in Sullivan County and how people might expect that to be rolling out?
Sure. Well, for the general public, we're several months away from a rollout of the vaccine. What we have been doing right now, and it's really what the state's been doing because we have to follow their rules for the distribution of the vaccine, is they've sent it to hospitals and Garnet, Catskill, what we all remember is Catskill Regional, has distributed to their folks there. I know that the EMTs of the community got the vaccine. Of course, this is voluntary, so only the EMTs who wanted to get the vaccine and had signed up for it. Tomorrow begins our staff and residents at the care center, and I believe at other local nursing homes, although I only know for certain with our care center, but I'm pretty sure that's the case with all of them. And shortly we're going to be having our public health team get vaccinated as well, those that will be responsible for distributing the vaccine at what we call these pods, point of dispensing sites, that will be set up around the county for when it becomes time to generally distribute the vaccine so that we can do that as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So progress is being made, but people still need to be patient. It's going to take a little while.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but is there any other distribution in addition to the public health distribution in those pods? Will pharmacies be involved at all?
My understanding is that they will. We have meetings. Our public health team has meetings weekly with the regional hub. There's a task force based out of Westchester Medical Center. That's our regional hub, to plan for this, and I do believe that pharmacies will be a point of dispensing as well. And certainly when the vaccine becomes very widely available, I would expect that you should be able to walk into your pharmacy and possibly without an appointment and just have the vaccine supply. But that's even more months away than where we're at right now.
Right, and some of these things will become clearer, obviously, as we get closer. But like one more thing on this topic is, you know, in listening to the national reporting as a national news, all things considered fresh air, these NPR outlets do their wrap up of the year and look back at the course of COVID. Something I've heard a couple times is the extent to which public health nationwide is the linchpin for the vaccination process. And they point out that, you know, public health has not been supported as much as it could be. And the public health workers have, we've demanded a lot from them this year. We've relied on them for a lot. Could you tell us at all how public health is doing as a entity in Sullivan County, if they're feeling supported, whether that's financially or emotionally?
I think they are feeling supported. I know a lot of people have told them thank you for what they've been doing. Certainly, county employees and officials have made sure to tell that to them. But you've got to understand, of course, and I can only imagine, but as best as I can think of it, this has got to be extremely tiring, exhausting. They have to have been under tremendous amounts of stress and confusion and frustration, because, of course, all of us are transmitting that on them as well. We look to them to help us get better and feel better, but they're human beings just like we are, and they're dealing with all the same things in their own families as much as they are with the people that they serve. My heart goes out to them as much as my hands applaud them. They are a team like no other, and we have a small team. We're I forget what the exact term is, but we are not the full-size health department that you might find like in Orange County or Westchester County. We're a smaller health services office, and so we have just a few dozen people in that office that are constantly contact tracing, constantly making phone calls to the state and to hospitals and to doctors' offices, constantly trying to keep up with the latest guidance and change in that comes out. They have been working nonstop since, well, I actually took a look back at our over 200 press releases we issued this year, and it was February 7th where our public health director, Nancy McGraw, first let people know, hey, we are monitoring coronavirus and it may come our way. And a month later, it was here. Our first case, we issued a release on March 16th about. A month after that, on April 16th, we had 516 active cases. And then just a few weeks after that, on May 1st, we had over 1,200 people in quarantine. This is all stuff that public health had to monitor, stay very much on top of. Matters of life and death, on top of everything else that they normally are doing, because this isn't a team that sits around waiting for the next pandemic to hit. And now, of course, those numbers aren't quite as high as they were back in April and May, but they're climbing again. So, yeah, I would say that they are definitely struggling to maintain their energy and their morale, but these are folks who feel very committed and very mission-oriented to the community's health.
Right, and that's part of why I ask that, because, you know, it from my perspective, as I follow the numbers and follow the news, it seems like, you know, we've had public health department that's very much on top of things and have been doing a lot of work, and I understand that we ask a lot of them. So that's part of what I wanted to know.
Yeah, we really have. And I think they've met that request time and time again, and we'll continue to do so into 2021.
You know, if you could just real quick, because, you know, we heard from the governor earlier today, he's talking about, you know, what did or in most part did not come from the stimulus package, the direct aid to states and municipalities. In the governor's words, he's like, this is nothing, at least compared to what the need was. Any reaction from the county on this?
We're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Still waiting for the shoe to drop.
Right, well, because the federal government didn't do direct aid to states and local governments. They chose a different path, so now we're waiting to find out what the state's going to do about that. And the state has warned us that we could see up to 20% cuts in state aid across the board. And if it happens across the entire spectrum of state aid that we get, that's over $5 million, of which we can absorb maybe a million or two. Once we get past that, then we're talking about where do we have to cut. And that could be in services, it could be in staff, and it's going to be something that if we do have to cut it, it can't be the mandated services that the state's still requiring us to provide. That's the irony of it. We're hoping to avoid that. The governor has indicated in past presentations that it may become part of the budget process rather than instituting state cuts right this moment. And we're hoping that he does go that way, that they discuss it on the legislative and executive level to figure out how to close what I think last I knew was a $15 billion deficit for the state without unduly hurting taxpayers. But I don't know exactly how you do that without hurting taxpayers.
Right. We've only got a couple minutes left. I'm wondering, it's New Year's. As you look back on the year, what would you say made the most impact on you, positive or negative, as a communications director in your duties? What impacted you the most?
The new legislature. I work with them. I work directly for the county manager, but he works for the legislature. And, of course, our offices are adjacent to the legislature's offices, so I see them more often than a lot of other county employees. And, of course, my job is to work with them closely. And so educating the new legislature on its roles and responsibilities on the communication side of things, and also dealing just with the various initiatives, both the popular and controversial ones that they rolled out, was definitely a challenge. Of course, COVID played into that for about almost 4 months. I didn't see my government center office. I was buried in the emergency operations center near White Lake, focusing on COVID there. But even then, I still needed to work with the new legislature. And I have to say, we've gotten to a point where I think they understand what I do, and I understand where they're headed, even though it's not always a unified direction that they're headed in. But we've gotten to know each other, and that really has always been a favorite part of my job, is getting to know new people and understanding them better, and helping them understand what I do better. So I would say that's been the biggest part of 2020 for me. And that would have happened even without COVID.
That's right, it would have. And looking, you might have already answered this, but what are you looking forward to in the new year?
One of the things that I'm most excited about, besides, of course, the lessening of coronavirus's impacts and maybe the return to some semblance of the normalcy we remember, is our broadband wireless project. That is the legislature's number one priority, but I also personally and professionally look at that as transformative for the county, where we can bring broadband wireless coverage to as much as 60-70% of the county. And I think as technology improves, we can increase that percentage quite rapidly. We have over a dozen towers across the county where this technology can be mounted and bring full high-speed 200 megabits per second or even more wireless to people's homes who would never be given a second glance by a cable company or have dealt with the satellite internet, which can be very challenging, let's put it nicely. And I think especially now that more people have discovered that they can work from home, or maybe even that they want to, this is going to help us stand out in a downstate area that mostly already does have broadband wireless service, or excuse me, broadband wired service.
Right.
And we're hoping to really be a trendsetter on the wireless side of things. So I'm really looking forward to that. The antennas are mounted on our pilot project tower in Monticello, and I expect in another few months we're going to be running the test in the village of Monticello, which I expect to be a complete success, and then we'll roll it out pretty rapidly from there. And this time next year, we could be talking about how it's expanding across the county.
Okay, well, that's definitely a story that we're going to be keeping an eye on as well, so you keep letting us know about that. Dan Hoos, thank you so much for everything you've done this year, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you guys. You guys have been a great resource for the community. I can't sing your praises enough on how much you've helped us get the word out, and it's appreciated.
All right. Thank you so much. This is Radio Catskill, and that was a communications director for Sullivan County. That's Dan Hoost.